I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 9:02 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a service on Saturday evening at 6. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you guys know at this point, I think, that we are in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is just means revelation, something that's revealed. And in the season of Epiphany, what we remember sort of repeatedly over the course of the season is God's revelation of what he has done. Not just his revelation to what he's done, but especially the fact that he has revealed his work, that is the salvation of mankind, the forgiveness of all sin to the entire world. So he didn't just reveal it, he didn't just show himself to one small group of people as it first appeared, but in fact, what he did and what we remember and celebrate, especially since we are mostly all Gentiles here, is that God accomplished this great task by giving the life and resurrection to his son, but then he revealed his great work to the entire world, to all nations, and gives the great gift of eternal life and salvation to all who would believe this. That's what we celebrate during Epiphany. So it's a pretty good thing to celebrate. Now, there's sort of a standard picture of Epiphany, a standard image or a story that calls to mind that idea that God has revealed salvation to the whole world. And normally, often what we think of and what we speak about during Epiphany is the story of the Magi coming from the East. So they are lost in darkness, these people of the East, these magic practitioners from distant, far eastern lands. And yet they see a light shining in the darkness, that is that great star that God sets in the heavens. And it draws them from the East and brings them to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, where they find Jesus in the manger. And there they receive the light of the world. God himself incarnate, the forgiveness of their sins and eternal salvation in the person of Jesus. And that's what they come and find. And so this is kind of the standard story. It's the a classic picture of what we celebrate at Epiphany. People lost in darkness, seeing a great light and being drawn to the salvation of God. So there's a number of, I guess you might say, motifs or sort of themes or images that get used and reused, especially during Epiphany. And one of those is the image of light and darkness, as we see in that classic story of the Magi. They have the star, they're lost, they see the star, they're guided, they're brought to Christ, who is the light of the world. Okay, so lots of times, throughout the course of Epiphany, you'll hear or see or experience that image of the contrast between light and darkness. Light and darkness. And we see that in our lessons this morning. We see it first in the Old Testament lesson, and then it's quoted or at least paraphrased in our gospel lesson this morning too, right? The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them the light has dawned. And the fulfillment of that, as I've said already, is the birth, the life, the preaching, the teaching, the miracles, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming for the final judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fulfillment of that light that shines in dark places. And that's made clear immediately after that little prophecy. The very next line that we get, from that time Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That is, everybody, look up, pay attention, I'm here. The kingdom of God is right now in your midst. It's here for you. And we get it a little bit later on too. After the calling of his disciples there, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Jesus, the light of the world, shines into the dark place of Galilee by proclaiming the gospel that the kingdom of God is here, it is at hand, it is now, it is Him. And in order to show who He is, and in order to bring the kingdom to them, He goes around and heals the diseases of all the people. Jesus is the light in dark places. So given that this light thing is sort of a motif, is sort of a theme for the season of Epiphany, I thought we'd talk just a little bit about light, because thinking about light and that image can tell us also a little bit about the gospel of God that we're celebrating during Epiphany. So there's a few things about light. One, and I suspect you've all experienced this, light, especially a little bit of focused light in a dark place, can be a very powerful thing. In fact, you might not think that some photons floating through the air could accomplish anything, but sometimes it can accomplish great things. As an example, think of this. If you have someone in your house that is sleeping, and you would like to wake them up, what might you do to them? Yeah, you're probably going to go in their room, you're going to turn on the light, maybe you'll shout to accompany it, right? Get out of bed! But oftentimes, just the flick of that light switch brings some light to a dark place that has astounding effects. Just to show you my own cruelty this morning, I'll show you how I do that. I carry this little flashlight around in my pocket. And if there's anybody in my house that I need to wake up, this is what I do. Ready? It's a little crazy. Ah! Yeah, you get that in your face, and trust me, that will wake people up. A little beam of light from a tiny flashlight, something plain and simple, can be very powerful. Can take somebody who is sleeping and wake them up. And so it is with the gospel of God. Oftentimes you will find that a person who has never heard of Jesus, that knows nothing about what we believe as Christians, who hears for the first time, finds this message astounding. What do you mean God took on human flesh? What do you mean that all the sins that I've ever committed or ever will commit can be forgiven? What do you mean that the blood of one man covered for the sins of the whole world? That's simply amazing. It's astounding. It is a powerful, powerful message. And can take someone who has been walking in darkness, who has been sleeping, and wake them up. Now, there's a few other things about light. One is that light doesn't always come in bright, steady beams. It's not always focused and powerful all right at once. So as my illustration for this, I think you guys maybe know, but I'm kind of an early morning person, generally. I like to wake up early. And one thing that I like to do is I like to exercise early in the morning and go run. Okay? And I'm just stubborn enough, and I have just enough encouragement that I do this year round. I go outside and run early in the morning. And you guys all know, right now, if you go out early in the mornings, it is dark outside. It is deeply dark outside. And during this time of the year, I go outside in the darkness, and I run in the darkness, and I come home in the darkness. And that darkness feels deep and heavy and oppressive. And I'm wondering if the light is ever going to come. But if I keep at it a little bit later in the year, eventually, as I'm coming home, the sun will be coming up. And then if I keep waiting, about midway through my run, the sun will be coming up. And then at the beginning, the sun will be coming up. And before I know it, I'm walking out the door in the light. Sometimes light comes gradually, as in a sunrise.
Sometimes the change from day to day, the working of the light in your life, is just almost imperceptible. And yet, the day is dawning. I say this to all of you who most of you, who many of you I know, are lifelong Christians. And for us, oftentimes, it's hard to tell what's going on in our lives spiritually. It feels like a routine. I get up, I read my Bible. I wake up, I come to church. Every week I have the Lord's Supper and I go to Bible class. And oftentimes it's hard to tell where and when our Lord is working. But rest assured that you know for certain that our God has promised to work among you, to bring you his kingdom through his word and his sacraments. And surely he will, and he does. So know that every day more and more light comes. Every day, even on you, you live and walk in the light. And over the course of years, over the change of the seasons, the sun fully rises and shines upon you. Now, at the same time, sin in this image, right? Light is Christ and the gospel. Darkness is sin and death. And so at the same time, just as the way that the sun slips away in the fall and the light slowly dissipates and disappears, so in the same way, sin can work in our lives, slowly occluding the light and drawing us away. Which is why our Savior warns us that we must always be watchful, be patient and waiting for his coming and looking for the light to be dawning, that we might flee from darkness towards the sunrise. Now, finally, one last thing about light that's sort of related to the first one. You know, light can be powerful. It can be a shining, focused beam that works in the lives of people. But just for that reason, people who get used to light, or excuse me, who get used to the darkness, don't really like light. If you've been, I don't know, in a cave or out in the forest with no light, or if you just hang around a church at night with me when all the lights are off, your eyes will adjust, you'll get used to the darkness, and now all of a sudden light, especially bright light, especially focused light, is received as deeply uncomfortable. And this is true for the people who walk in darkness. St. Paul has something to say about this in our epistle lesson this morning, actually. The very last sentence. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that while we walk in the day, there are many around us who not only don't walk in the light, but also really kind of like the darkness. And we need to recognize what an amazing gift this Christian faith that we have is. Recognize that it is astounding that we believe that God took on human flesh and died and rose to save humanity. Recognize it's astounding that we believe that the Holy Spirit has personally called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified all of us. It is astounding that we believe that our God works in the lives even of tiny little babies through water, that's not just water, but connected to his word, and that he feeds and nourishes his people week in and week out with the body and blood of Christ, the same body and blood that was born in the manger, the same body and blood that taught miracles, the same body and blood that was crucified and risen to all eternity. These are astounding, miraculous things that we believe, and we should not underestimate their power. And we should not underestimate the fact that those who do not believe these things, who walk presently in darkness, receive the light of the gospel, the good news of the saving grace of our God, as foolishness in the words of St. Paul, but as deeply uncomfortable in the image of light and darkness. But there's only one thing to do. In dark places, we need light. So, brothers and sisters, make no mistake, when you go out into that dark world, and when you speak the truth of the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you shine a bright light in some very dark places. May God bless your work as you do that now and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.